Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
We are picking up again in our series, Alive in the Spirit. We're going to dip into the book of Acts again. So we started looking at Acts last year, and our senior pastor Nick said we're going to take a couple of years to go through the book of Acts. We're not doing it all in one go. We're just doing little bits. So for the next 2 months, we're going to be unpacking a little bit more about this amazing news that Luke writes about in Acts, the news of Jesus as it spread and how the early church began. You know, from this book, we can learn so much. We can be inspired by the lives of the apostles. We've seen already, for those of you who are in MPK, we did it last term, and for adults that were here last year, how the beginning of the early church was utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit. It was a time of external persecution and danger, but it was also an important time where there was a need for protection from the internal issues in the faith community as well. Now, I wonder if you have ever drawn up house plans or created something, some kind of project where you needed to start with a solid straight line for everything else to build from there. I remember when my mum would get the weight from the cuckoo clock to draw a plumb line for hanging up the wallpaper. So that each piece afterwards would remain straight and vertical. And so too for the early church, there needed to be a plumb line, a high standard of what was acceptable conduct to ensure that the church maintained genuine followers of Jesus. You can read in Acts 2 how wonderfully unified the people were. They were devoted to meeting together, listening to the apostles' teaching, eating together, experiencing miracles as they prayed, worshipped, and they even shared their money with one another. And they saw many people come to faith. Then in Acts chapter 4, we can read again that they shared everything that they had with others. There was no needy person among them at that time, because from time to time, people would actually sell their property, their houses, and they gave the money to be distributed to anyone in need. Acts gives us two examples of people selling property and sharing their finances. Firstly, in Acts chapter 4, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the same Barnabas who later travelled with Paul, and he was a huge influence in the early church. In fact, as we read more about him, we can see that Barnabas had an attitude that was generous, encouraging, and genuine as in his faith and sacrifice. This is a good example of someone giving to the early church to help others. We don't know what the amount of money was that he gave, or the percentage of the profits that he chose to give. There is nothing in the text that says that the whole amount must be given, or that it was even essential to sell land and give the money to the church. Just simply that some did. This is a descriptive account of what happened. It is not prescriptive to say this is what everyone must do. The second example that we're going to consider today is not your typical kid's story. It's a little bit bizarre and quite shocking. We're looking at the very extreme end of consequences for doing the wrong thing. In Acts chapter 5, we read of a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, the thing here to note is that he brought only part of the money, claiming it was the whole full price. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? They could choose how they wanted to use this money. No one said they had to give it all. So Peter asked, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but you have lied to God. Now here's where the shocking bit happens. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, which is actually absolutely terrible. And you can imagine that great fear seized all who heard about what had happened. Then, being quite practical, some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Now, I don't know where his wife Sapphira was during the next 3 hours. And I don't understand why nobody told her that her husband had died. But she came to Peter, perhaps looking for him because Ananias was late for dinner. But about 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord?" He warns her, "Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." But it appears that this warning didn't change her story. She insisted this was the full amount, and although her husband was dead, she still refused to be honest to Peter. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. No surprise, great fear seized the whole church as they heard and all who heard about these events. It's a shocking story. It's confronting to us today. Imagine what it would have been like for those in the early church. I wonder what it meant for them. I wonder what it means for us today. How do we know if something's authentic? Give me any ideas. How do we know if it's authentic? Kids are super quiet. I'll ask you another question in a little while. When you buy a particular style of watch or bag, you might ensure that its origins are genuine, where it was made, maybe the designer's logo or signature is on it, the materials that were used. It has a specific appearance and features that are accurate. So it's not a copy, it's not a fake, it's real and true. You may look for authentic Italian food that you know that is made in the traditional way, faithful and in line with the original. Authentic could also mean to certify documents or witness a testimony so that's accurate, trustworthy, real and true. When it comes to people, the opposite of being authentic is to be a hypocrite. I actually live with a hypocrite. Now, you might think that Bella is absolutely gorgeous, and she is an adorable dog some of the time. Sometimes she's not so wonderful. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine arrived at my house, and as I opened the door, Bella whizzed past me straight out to greet her, tail wagging, spinning in circles. But if you've been to my house, you know that I live on a really busy corner. So my heart was racing. And I called Bella to come to me, and she didn't. We had been out in the backyard just 10 minutes earlier, and 3 times I had called her to come, and she came beautifully. But now, when there's no lead, no fence, and a busy road, when I needed her to come to me, she refused. In fact, she ran around the corner and up the hill. Thankfully, she stayed on the footpath because a bus went whizzing past and several cars. And occasionally, she would stop, look at me, and then keep running. You see, I discovered that Bella can behave a certain way in some circumstances, but in other situations, she behaves quite differently. She didn't come back. Her freedom was of greater value than my heart or my desire for her to come. Thankfully, she was safe in my arms a few minutes later, but not until she'd crossed a road and then stopped to greet another dog sliding under the fence. She was safe. But I wonder if you have experienced something like this, maybe not your dog escaping, but someone who behaves one way in some circumstances, but then behaves differently in a different situation or somewhere else. It's upsetting, right? The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word that means play actor. A hypocrite is someone pretending to be something that they are not in order to receive recognition. A hypocrite is selfish. In Matthew 23, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for being hypocrites. They make it harder for people to come to faith because they are not genuine in their faith. They do things only to look good on outward appearances. Jesus says in verse 27, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Jesus really doesn't like hypocrisy. God isn't asking us to be perfect, but he does want us to be authentic. The encounter with Ananias and Sapphira allows us to see how seriously God takes hypocrisy. It would not be tolerated in the early church. Truthful and trustworthy believers were necessary for the foundation of the church. Authenticity was required. Peter, filled with the Spirit, knew the heart of this couple and their attempt to appear generous with their finances, when in fact they were lying about the money that they were giving. So today, let's quickly look at four points that will help us understand how to live authentic lives. Firstly, authenticity comes from the heart. When Samuel was searching for a king, God said he needed to look not at the outward appearance, but at the heart. The internal thinking, attitudes, and passions that make up the true character of a person. A suitable person to be king, to be a leader, to be a follower of God. God wanted an authentic king. And yes, David did make mistakes, but he also confessed his sin. He served God and worshipped him with passion. Ananias and Sapphira were missing the heart attitude that was in line with God. Instead, they were selfish and they wanted to impress others. King Solomon, the son of King David, wrote, "Above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Who you are flows from your inner passions and thoughts. Living an authentic life starts with your heart attitude." And yes, if we're honest, we're not perfect. We do have a problem with sin. Even the great Apostle Paul says, "I desire to do good, but I still sin." In Romans 7, he writes, "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that is in me." We all make mistakes. We all sin. But God is not asking us to be perfect, rather to be authentic. And like Paul, to admit and confess sin in the light of Jesus. He says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." We sang about him earlier because we too need Jesus. You might remember, even with some pain, the first time you discovered your parents weren't perfect. Being a parent is hard. The little eyes see and hear everything. And for some of you, the circumstances might have deep wounding. And at the end of the service, you may even want to pray with somebody about that. The best thing to do when you make a mistake is to admit it, to bring sin into the light of Jesus in honest and appropriate ways, to confess to God and to those who you've broken trust with, and not allow sin to remain in the dark and in secret. 1 John 1 reminds us that Jesus is the light, and when we bring sin to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. For Ananias and Sapphira, they did the exact opposite to what an authentic follower of Jesus should do. They hid the truth. They lied to cover their sin. Sapphira was even given a second chance to come clean and state the truth, but she chose not to. The consequences for them were catastrophic and unusual, but significant in the time of history of establishing the early church and who the Christian community would be. So I admit I am a sinner. I confess my sin with my closest trusted people. I confess to God, and I earnestly try to follow Jesus. It's vitally important that we confess our sin. We admit that we need a saviour and a total dependence on Jesus for forgiveness. We also need to consider what we are putting into our lives. There's a phrase I've heard, you be you. But as a follower of Jesus, our aim when being authentic is not to be more of ourselves, but to be more like Jesus. Not to just behave like him, but to think like him and to trust God like Jesus did. When you make a banana milkshake, what ingredients do you put in? Bennett. Maybe some honey. What else do we put in? Banana, of course. We need banana and a banana milkshake. Anything else?
Ice cream.
Maybe some ice cream. Any other ideas? Caleb. Maybe some yogurt. Yes. What about some milk? Yeah, that might be good too. Some people might even put in some nuts or some cinnamon and other things. To be authentic, an authentic follower of Jesus, there are specific ingredients that we need, just like our banana milkshake. Maybe you can tell me what some of those things are. What do we need to put into our lives to be a follower of Jesus? You might already be thinking. Some of you I know do these things. You participate in spiritual practices like prayer and worship, gathering together. Some of those things we've done this morning. There's a myriad of ways that we can engage in spiritual practices. Reading God's word, spending time with him. Sometimes it can feel a little bit dry. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we need to mix it up a little bit and try some different things to find what works for us in this season. Well, can I suggest to you today, just like banana and milk are essential ingredients to put in a milkshake, a banana milkshake, that there is one essential ingredient that we must have to be authentic followers of Jesus. Let me illustrate this by a story. This is by Jessica Hurlbut. One morning, my husband Greg, obviously not my story, I don't have a husband named Greg. Greg discovered Mara, our daughter, snuggled in bed next to him with a pen in hand, scribbling all over his Bible. As he reached for the pen, Mara looked up and uttered the phrase, "Hi, Daddy." Now, this would be a typical response for any three-year-old, but Mara has autism and is nonverbal. So when those words rolled off her tongue, my husband's eyes welled with tears. He found himself overwhelmed with emotions. He was ecstatic to hear his little girl's voice, but the floodgates broke as he mourned the loss of the daughter that he had envisioned. He spoke of the pain a father feels when he doesn't even know his own child. He complained to God how Mara lived in her own world and rarely acknowledged his presence. God interrupted Greg's lament and spoke these words to his heart. I know your pain. I too am a father, and oftentimes my children fail to acknowledge my presence. Day in, day out, they repeat the same routine of breakfast, work, dinner, Netflix, bed. They too live in their own world. A world entrenched in hobbies, sports, materialism, binge-watching TV and surfing the internet. I try everything imaginable to get their attention. I send people into their lives to interrupt their routines. I answer big and small prayers in hopes that they will know my heart. I even went to the extreme of sending my son as an attempt to convey my love for them. I don't need them, but I desperately want them. They desperately need me, but they don't want me. My greatest desire for them is to stop what they are doing and look into my eyes. I just want an authentic relationship. And I'm not mad. I don't care how many times they have scribbled all over my story. I'm the original author of their lives, and I'm crafting a beautiful tale, if only they would hand me the pen. Until then, I will wait patiently for my child to look up and utter the words that cause my heart to skip a beat. Hi, Daddy. Isaiah wrote that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Just like my dog Bella, we run off thinking we have freedom, but not knowing the risks and not knowing the best place to be is in our Heavenly Father's loving arms. We need to simply return to the shepherd and listen to his voice, follow where he leads, not to run off with our own plans. The crucial ingredient to live an authentic life is to be in relationship with Jesus. He fills us with his Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit grows in us, and our lives then demonstrate his characteristics, just like putting on new clothes, as Paul writes about in Colossians 3. For Ananias and Sapphira, they were so concerned about the outward appearance of looking like they were generous in their faith, they missed the deeply essential internal relationship of personally following Jesus. They were imposters. They thought they could hide the truth. They lied. So it's probably no surprise to you that as we draw to a close today, that we will ask ourselves about what happens behind the closed doors of our homes or in our lives outside of Sunday mornings. Are we different in different situations? Is that who we want to be? Each of us, no matter what age we are, can choose if we want to live an authentic life following Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 challenges us to set an example. Paul says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in your speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Even Joshua, as a very old man, asked the Israelites as they entered the promised land to renew their covenant promise with God, "Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve." And he replied, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Do you act the same way at church, at school, at home, at work, in all seasons? When the tough times hit, is there depth in your relationship with God to keep trusting and praying and praising him for who he is in all situations, being consistently authentic? Similar to those in the early church, we as followers of Jesus are in the minority. People look to us and they wonder if what we say is true and trustworthy. Is our faith authentic or is it fake? Are we genuine, real, honest, and utterly dependent on God? When our heart attitude is right, our sins confessed, and we invest time into our relationship with Jesus, authenticity shows in our life. Not being half-hearted or a sometimes Christian, depending on the crowd we're with. So I wonder if you will choose to be an authentic follower of Jesus. As we pause to reflect now, you might like to take a look at this image on the screen. It's a German line drawing that was written in, that was made in 1859. The artist is unknown, but it reflects part of this story from Acts 5. As you consider Ananias and Sapphira in the early church, I wonder what this story tells you about God. I wonder what this story tells you about people. And I wonder what this story tells you about yourself. What does God want you to do about it? Gracious Heavenly Father, we know there have been times when we have not had right motives. We have not been authentic in our faith. We seek your forgiveness and we ask that you renew a right spirit in us. Restore the joy of our salvation. Help us to bring sin into the light of your love, grace and forgiveness. If we have been lukewarm followers of you, ignite in us a passion for you. If we've been half-hearted hypocrites, challenge us and inspire us to be people of integrity, authentic, real and true followers of you, Jesus. That we will invest in our relationship, grow deep, strong roots of faith, that when we are challenged, that we are faithful and true, holding on to your sovereignty and love. We thank you for who you are and who you are calling us to be. For our church community, Lord, we hope for a community of believers with everyone following you, connecting deeply to you and to each other as we overflow with blessings for others. May our lives bring honor to you and point others to you. We pray in your name. Amen. Yeah. As we sing this next song, just stand whenever you are ready. You might choose to sit in the presence of God or even kneel as we humbly ask Him to make us more like Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.